Tonight, I'll just be sharing a few words from 1 Peter chapter 3. I know most of you maybe didn't come with a Bible tonight. That's okay. You can just listen as I read along. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll start reading from verse 12 to 18. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, we're thankful for the solace that we find when we look at your word. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and you show us exactly what we need to hear, what we need to live and follow you in life. Lord, as we commemorate our dear brother Hans, I ask that through this message, your Spirit would speak to our hearts. I pray you lift our spirits, and I pray you'd also convict us. Lord, whenever we come to these moments in life, we remember that life is all too short. And may we remember to number our days. May we remember to make our time here on earth count for you. And Lord, may our hearts also consider eternity. Help us to remember, Lord, that your word teaches us about eternity. And Brother Hans, we're thankful as he is in eternity with you. So would you just bless now during this preaching time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I'm just going to give just a brief message. And that's not just something preachers say. I'll try and be brief, actually, tonight. But as our dear brother lies here, we think of how in his latter years his health failed him. But we're so thankful he made it this close to his 87th birthday. And we'll just fudge the numbers and say he was 87, amen, and lived a long, full life. We thank God for that. Read an interesting story about former President John Quincy Adams, who suffered a stroke. And although he returned to Congress the following year, his health was clearly failing. And Daniel Webster described his last meeting with Adams. Adam said, "Someone, a friend of his, came in and made particular inquiry of his health, and Adam answered, 'I inhabit a weak, frail, decayed tenement, battered by the winds and broken in upon by the storms, and from all I can tell, the landlord does not intend to repair.'" He recognized that his body is just flesh and blood, here for just a moment. That's what the Bible tells us. Our lives are here just for a moment, for a little while, and then it vanishes away. I want us tonight to consider our dear brother Hans. And many of us knew him as a dear friend and a dear church member here, whether at Belrose Baptist Church or more recently here at Bible Baptist Church. And when we look at his life, we certainly see God's providence. We saw how God delivered him physically and how amazing. I'm so thankful for those stories. All those who had a part in that. It's powerful. But we also thank God for his spiritual deliverance. How a Jewish man coming to the United States can hear the gospel and trust in his Messiah, Jesus Christ. The Lord also provided for his family, and I love that. He lost a family, but the Lord blessed him with another family, a godly wife, 5 dear children, and their spouses, and 7 grandchildren. Beautiful family. I had a pleasure getting to know each of you. And all are a testimony of God's grace and God's love.
how God provided for him.
Brother Hans leaves behind a great testimony for the Lord. He had a great zeal for the Lord. And, you know, I think of while he was here in our church, he never missed a service. As his health allowed, he never not one time missed a service. And I remember I was in college at the time when they started attending our church. And I lived over on Hoffman Avenue. And, of course, they lived on Belmont. So we were kind of neighbors. And I would be driving to church and I'd see this elderly couple walking to church. And I would get to church and eventually I'd see them in my church. And it happened a few times. I said, hey, you folks should get a ride. We'll give you a ride to church. You don't have to walk. But they were so willing to be in church that they walked. I won't mention the many members who live so close and don't walk, but that's another story. But Brother Hans had a zeal for the Lord. I also know he had a great sweet tooth. I knew that, too. We would have fellowships, and he loved his sweets. We thank God for that, too. Here's what Charles Spurgeon had to say about death. He said, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. So carve your name on hearts and not on marble. And he certainly did that. As we look at our text tonight in 1 Peter 3, our text also reminds us that just because Brother Hans was a believer, just because he was this great man, this great Christian, this honorable man, this great father, doesn't mean he was immune from the sufferings of this world. It was mentioned already in the eulogies. Verse 17 says, for it is better if the will of God be so, and that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. The theme of 1 Peter is suffering in the life of the Christian. In chapter 2 and verse 19, Peter says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. I can only imagine the weight of Brother Hans' escape from Germany. I can only imagine the weight that he carried in his heart. I can only imagine the pressure he felt raising 5 kids as an immigrant here in New York City. I can only imagine the suffering and the trials that he went through in life. I can only imagine the suffering he endured because he converted from Judaism to Christianity, having family disown him. I can only imagine the suffering he endured. His health, as I mentioned, certainly began to falter in his latter years. But yet I can honestly say the Lord allowed him to persevere through all of these sufferings, through all of these trials. The Lord never said you're not going to go through trials, but he said, I'll be with you through those trials. And that was evident in our dear brother's life. He was definitely a fighter. And he had a strong zeal to continue persevering for Christ. 1 Peter 3 verse 14 says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You know, many of us in life, we go through trials. That's a normal part of life. In fact, if you read some of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible were penned by King David during his times of depression, grief, sorrow, and fear. For example, he was able to write, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise the Lord for that. See, the wonderful truth for us Christians is that the sorrow we face in this life is temporary, because we have waiting for us eternal joy in heaven, where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more sickness, and no more death. Sadly, the Bible does talk about those who do not know Christ, those who are lost, those who are unsaved, and the Bible says they will face the worst kind of suffering there is. Not just suffering and pain in this life, but the suffering and pain of eternal damnation in a place called hell. Yes, the Bible describes a place called hell, a place of eternal suffering, a place of separation from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That means what we have earned, our payment, what we deserve because of our sin is death. Jesus said, Matthew 25, 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus also described hell as a place of fire that never shall be quenched. In Matthew 13, 50, Jesus said, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." There's a place of far more suffering, far greater suffering and grief than we can ever experience in this world. Yes, there is that place called hell. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that to you tonight as we consider death and eternity. The truth is, Brother Hans would want me to warn you, to plead with you, not to endure grief in this world only to endure it again in the next. He would want me to preach to you that hell is real. There's a hell to shun, but thank God there is a heaven to gain. We thank God for that. John 3, verse 16, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. I'll just read it to you or read some of the verses there. John 3, 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 36 tells us, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So there is a place of suffering. Who will be there? All those who live their life and leave Christ out. All those who die in their sins will be there. Thankfully, none of us have to go there. I want us to not only consider Brother Hans, but let's consider Christ tonight. Before we go home, let's consider Jesus Christ, Brother Hans' Messiah, his Lord, his Savior. Jesus Christ is God in human form. And guess what? He endured suffering while here on this earth. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, "He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Any pain or suffering you think you're going through, hey, Christ experienced it also. Betrayal, hunger, fear, pain, you name it, he experienced that. And ultimately, he suffered on the cross to pay for our sins. The difference is, the suffering you and I go through is corrective. It's to help us to grow. It's going through the refiner's fire, you could say. But the suffering Christ went through on the cross was redemptive. It was to save us. It was to wash our sins away. It was an atonement for our sins. So the question you might ask, how can I enter heaven? And how can I see Hans again? Wouldn't you like to see Brother Hans again? Of course, all of us would. Well, that means you must have your sins dealt with. We cannot enter into heaven with sin on our account. If we entered into heaven with sin, then heaven would become just like here on earth. No, our sin must be dealt with, and only Jesus can help us with that. Only the blood of Christ can wash all our sins away, past, present, and future. As I often preach, it's the only detergent strong enough to deal with our sin problem, the blood of Christ. So it's not the waters of baptism. It's not the rituals of religion and going to church and putting money and keeping the golden rule. No, that can never save. That has never saved. Only Jesus can save. Tonight, I hope you understand that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He took our place of suffering on the cross. That's what that means. And the simple message of the gospel is repent and believe. You don't have to stay in your sin. You can turn to Christ, will wash your sins away and take you to heaven when you die. And our text in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, I want us to read it just one more time. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Listen, the Bible says he hath once suffered. That means there's nothing you can add to it, and there's nothing you can do to take away from it. While hanging on that cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Only by the finished work of Jesus can you be saved. I can't save you. Our church can't save you, but Jesus can. That's the gospel message. So the great truth, understanding our salvation and we've been delivered from hell, we have eternal life in heaven, that gives us a precious hope to endure all things in this world. When we have that hope of eternity, the trials of life, we realize they're passing through. I read a story about a pagan king who demanded that a Christian recant his faith in Christ. And the Christian, of course, refused to deny Christ, so the king threatened him. The king said, "If you do not give up your faith in Christ, I will banish you." The man replied, "But you cannot banish me from Christ, for," he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The king said, "Then I will confiscate your property." The man replied, "My treasure is laid up in heaven. It's safe there." The king said, "Then I will kill you." The man said, "Then I'll go straight to heaven to be with my Lord." We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the king gave up, exasperated. So that's the precious truth that we cling to as Christians. And there's an old song that says, "I am a stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear, heaven is my home. Sorrows and dangers stand round me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home." Is heaven your home tonight? I hope you have that assurance. You can know, you can have a Bible reason why you know for sure heaven is your home. You can have a Bible reason why you know for sure you'll see Brother Hans again and you'll see the Lord. Let's pray together.